Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I'm too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them, and I tell you about them, and I can't freaking wait to tell you about today's movie.
I'm so excited.
And a note to our listeners, this is going to be a video episode, which will be available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast. But it's also an audio episode. So, you know, either way.
Either way, if you were sitting there being like, wait, I hear it, but I don't see it. That's because it's also just a regular.
It's both.
Episode.
It's both.
It's both. It's both.
But before we get into today's movie, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Should I go first?
I think it seems like you're ready to.
So I guess the scary, have I told you guys about Q Health? Have I told you about the at-home testing system that I'm now participating in? Okay.
No.
So Netflix has sent all of its like 10,000 employees a little at-home device. It's like a little box. It looks like the little box that Mr. Chalamet puts his hand in the beginning of Dune.
Oh, no.
That's like the vibe. Except a tiny version
scary
for
box.
A tiny hand. For a tiny hand. But yeah, it's like this little white box. And then every 4 weeks, they send you more testing units. And if you're going into the office, you're supposed to test on like a regular cadence. And it's terrifying because it's connected to your phone and every test has a cartridge that you insert into the box and then you do your test and then you insert the little like nose swab into the cartridge. It links to your phone. Your phone is like test in progress. Do, 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 do. And then It tells you whether you're positive or negative, obviously. Then it sends the results to Netflix. So they're tracking everything that's happening. And if you're positive, it automatically like sends that info to safety. It connects you to a doctor. It like does everything for you. Yeah.
Crazy.
I've only gotten negative. Luck, you know, I haven't had COVID yet, but knock on wood.
Phew.
But it's just terrifying that this type of technology is like living in our home. Like it feels very Big Brother-y. You know what I mean? The fact that like the company I work for is like, in order to work for us, we need you to like do this thing with your body and send us your body result, the results. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I feel like we opened that door a bit with like Alexa. I feel like I'm like already familiar with that level of like, this is kind of weird, right?
Like they can hear me. Just the fact that, yeah, like if you want to, just it's another way to control people, right? It's if you wanted to hack into this, if there are any hackers out there who are wanting some creative idea.
Hackers for inspiration.
I know a lot of people listening.
Hackers in a rut. We've got an idea for you.
Amateur hackers. I don't know what you could do because my brain doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But I feel like there's a lot of potential there. And I don't know. It's just, it's a little scary. It scared me a little bit.
That is scary.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, like, given that we are in a pandemic and people are expected to go into work, there is an angle of it that is good that they're saying like, here's the testing and here's the transparency. And so everybody knows like, this is what we're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, that's good. But in general, things like that should just be more widely accessible. And it's like weird that it has to come from your company and you're like, send us your, you know what I mean? Like in general, it would just be nice if we had a better system like from the government to ensure that people are staying healthy and on top of it. And testing. And
in this moment, if the technology is used responsibly and safely, then yes, it should absolutely be widely available. It's more like this technology has the potential to be so abused and mishandled, and that's what scares me, although we are not there yet.
Yeah, it's like not scary now, but it could be the beginning of a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. The scary thing right now is, Emily, that like Netflix is probably like the only company that's even one of the only companies that's even providing this service to its employees, yeah. Even though everyone's having to go in and work. And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Guys,
what about you?
That just reminded me. This isn't my scary thing, but I took a rapid test yesterday for the first. I hadn't taken one in a little while because I got in this mindset of like, oh my God, there's never going to be rapid tests available. So you have to save them for when you like really need them. And so I've just like been hoarding them anyway. But I took one yesterday because I was going to see a friend who has a child, young child. And so I truly was like, is this going to, I didn't think I had COVID. I don't, but I'd been so long since I tested that I was like, what if it just comes back? And I'm like, oh, I guess I have COVID. Like I was fully just ready to be like, oh, okay.
I think about that every time I take a test, and there must be so many people who have had that exact experience. And it is just like, yeah, it feels like I feel like I'm in the thing every time, like the part where they're like testing the blood and dropping it in, and I'm like,
and it's gonna go like, ah!
Yeah, like the test is just like, you have COVID.
Yeah. Hasn't happened yet, but
hasn't happened yet.
Maybe that is what happens when you get a positive result. I wouldn't know.
Mm-mm, we wouldn't.
So remains to be seen.
Something that happened to all of us this week is we got some nice mail from a listener named Katrina, who sent us freaking cross stitches, or is that what they're called?
I think it is what it's
called. Needlepoint.
Oh, it's so cool.
Wait, it's very impressive. It's very so impressed. Good.
But I just wanted to say thank you to Katrina. And if you guys want to check her out, she is on Instagram at katrina.lifeinstitches. Thank you, Katrina. It was really nice.
Oh my God, it's so nice. It's up in my living room.
I can't wait to get mine. Where am I going to put it in my house?
It's really precious. It's so cool.
I'm so excited.
And then I just wanted to say that I'm very excited about 2022 horror movies. The trailer for Men came out, the new Alex Garland movie.
Oh my god.
It looks so good. And I feel between that and Nope, and we're getting a new Ari Aster movie later this year, and today's movie that we won't say what it is yet, but
we won't say, we're not gonna spoil it.
And yeah, I'm just,
oh my god,
I'm excited.
When I watched, you posted the trailer for Men, Sammy, and I responded like, it feels like this was made just for our podcast.
Men are the scariest thing of all.
It was like, okay, well, here you go. Here you go. Here's this movie.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Wow. Do we know any deets about the Ari Aster one yet? Is there any info out there?
I know Joaquin Phoenix is in it. It's called Disappointment Boulevard.
Wait, is it a horror movie or is it just an Ari Aster?
I think it's less of a horror maybe than his others, but it is still listed as
a horror. I still feel like he's not going to do something pleasant.
No.
No.
No, no, no.
And neither is Joaquin, to be completely honest.
No. No.
Although, Come On was pretty pleasant.
Okay, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
It was good. I liked it.
Wait, Sammy, did you ever watch his short that he made when he was in film school?
Yes, we were just talking about it.
Oh my God, we were just talking about it this week.
And if anyone hasn't seen it, it's called, like, There's Something Wrong with the Johnsons or The Strange Thing About the Johnsons, something like that. Mm-hmm. And just, like, be forewarned that I was really angry at, it was Evan who was on the podcast for Event Horizon who told me to watch it. And afterwards, I was like mad at Evan, the way that you guys were at me after Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
Same kind of feelings it brought up for me.
To clarify, I was mad at both of you. I was mad at both of you. I was mad at Emily for sharing the information
unfair,
and for Sammy,
but,
for you prompting. I was furious.
Doesn't feel fair, but I guess feelings are valid and I have to accept them.
I'll have to accept them.
Yeah, no, I just remember hearing what the plot line of that is and being shocked out of my seat.
From the twisted mind of Ari Aster.
Yeah, he is twisted. He is truly, truly twisted.
Emily, what's your scary thing?
First, I just want to say this isn't scary. It's lovely. We've been talking. What are the words I'm trying to say? Sometimes it's hard. Ties into your thing, Sammy, which is talking about sweet gifts. And I just want to say, Sammy brought me two mini cutting boards. So now I have mini cutting boards. And I'll be so safe.
No more cutting tomatoes towards yourself.
No more cutting tomatoes in the air towards my hand. Maybe. Really, it's just such a sweet little gift. I really like that tier of gift giving in life between people where, like, no reason, but here's a thing that I thought you would, that I thought you'd like, and here's just a surprise for you to have. It's like maybe the dearest thing. I really love it.
It makes everybody feel good. Makes me feel good. Makes you feel good. Just a nice little, I was thinking about you.
Oh, it was so good. It's so good. I'm so excited to use my little cutting boards.
They're the best. You're going to love them.
Oh, wow. So that was very nice.
It's so cute. Sammy, you're good at that. She's really good at those little gifts.
Gift giving is one of her love languages.
I try. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've gotten worse in the pandemic just because my brain has been like turned a little bit to self-preservation. And so it's something that I'm trying to get back into.
I feel like you have to be out in the world a bit to like remember that stuff. You know, like you have to be out and like see something and have your mind triggered and go like, oh, right. You know, like we got the synapses don't fire the same way when we're not out and about.
Yeah.
Speaking of synapses not firing, I'm going to talk about my cats some more. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Do it. Do it.
And guys, today it is March 27th. The cats are fully integrated.
Final phase.
Less than a month? How long has it been?
Okay. 6 weeks. They've been fully integrated like for this whole week, basically. And we finally opened the door to like they had been out roaming together freely whenever we were around. And this past week, we've been like, okay, fine. Even when we're gone, we trust that you're not going to kill each other. And the movie that we sleep, they're all free to be. Right. So it's like we just live with four cats. who all live here, and it's great. It is also, truly both of us have moments where we like look around at the cats and are like just overwhelmed at, they're just everywhere. They're just everywhere, especially right before we feed them.
It's like they're on the prowl. Everywhere
they
look,
they start like swarming and they start like meowing and like weaving in between each other. Like there are moments where it's truly like, ah, like you like want to hide from them because there's just like so many cats. But they're great. They're the best. But speaking of eating, now it's so we have four cats. Two of them are obsessed with food. All food, would eat forever and everything. Mabel being one of them. Mabel has to have a slow feeder, which is like a spiky little dish where she has to like scoop her little food out. Because if you put her food just in a straight bowl, she will.
It's like
it's alarming,
unhinging, like a snake unhinges its jaw. Yes.
And she'll be and she'll just go like and like like truly inhales it and then barfs. Like it's like it's so scary to watch her do it. I tried before I brought her over here. I was like, maybe I forgot, like maybe she can handle it now. Maybe she can eat out of a bowl. And I tried it. And I put her food in a bowl and she just was like, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, it's like, what is wrong with you? Oh, my God. So there, Mabel has that. Birdie, she doesn't eat so fast. She pukes, but she just will like eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat everybody's food. So she's always has to eat separate from Theo and Marlo, who are skinny teenies. Marlo weighs 6 pounds. She's like a puff of smoke. Oh. She's just like a teeny little cat who doesn't really care about food. And then Theo is just a little weirdo who doesn't really care about food. He'll like come and go. So Birdie has to be separate from them because she'll eat all of her food and then push them out and eat all of their food. So now it's like our cats are integrated, but when it comes to feeding, Mabel is in the office with her slow feeder. Birdie is locked in the bedroom alone with her food, which she eats in 20 seconds. And then we let Marlo and Theo eat in the kitchen, but they will take like an hour to finish their food. So they like come and go. So then the other two are locked away. Birdie, after she's done in 20 seconds, and then we'll just like scream and howl and like claw at the door. She'll be like, trying to get out of the bedroom because she's done and wants to hang out, but she'll inhale the other guys' food. And like Theo really likes to be pet while he eats. So like he'll walk away from his food and he won't eat. And we're like, Theo, you have to eat because we have to let Birdie out. So like this morning before we recorded, I caught myself. I was like, oh, Theo didn't eat enough of his food. So you pick him up and you put him in front of his bowl and just pet him while he eats. I'm just standing over this cat petting him while he eats and just like, these are lunatics. These are lunatics in this house.
Yeah, that's a whole production. There's a lot of
it's
things
a whole
happening.
Production twice a day.
It really is a lot that we have to put up with. Sorry, Henley, you have a child. A human child.
A real child. A human that you've created, birthed, raised.
No, Emily, while you're explaining all of that, I was like, I wonder if I could break down like what Silas does in such a detailed way. And then I was trying to like think about it and my brain was just like a thick fog of smoke. And I was like, there's a baby out there, but what happens? What are the steps? Like you have the steps down to a science and I could not tell you the steps.
You're
if someone was like
autopilot.
No. 100%. Like, also just in the moment, like real living in the moment.
Yeah, also, you know, he's a living, growing child who, like, probably changes pretty frequently, like, what he needs and how he... Like, these guys, it's like, at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., we feed them. Like, they don't get a say. They're not, like, you know... Yeah. The biggest say they get is, like, pet me while I eat, and we do it so that they eat their food, you know? That's, like, pretty much...
That's cute, though. That's
it
cute.
Is, and that's why
your
we
little
do
baby.
It. It's really cute, but it's also like, Jesus Christ, like, what?
I want you to start thinking more about how this is just TikTok content.
I knew you were going to say that. I know. In fact, a friend of mine told me, she was like, you need to make this a TikTok. And I truly was like, will you do it for me? Like, I was like, I don't know how. She was like, yeah, send me this clips and I'll make. I was like, because I'm like,
hell
I don't.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you posted. I'm sending some pictures and videos to Lisa. If you don't follow her, Lisa Gilroy, she's so funny and she's great at TikToks.
She'll be good. She'll be perfect.
And
at
I
that.
Was like, Lisa, please, please make this for me because I don't know how. So TikTok's forthcoming if I can, you know, get my friend to do it for me.
They're really hard. I feel like
they're so hard.
How does Gen Z do it?
How does Gen Z do it? And Lisa's a millennial. So my God, more power to her.
That's true. But it's like kind of more her job, I feel like. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. She's, you know, that's her comedy. She's doing it.
Yeah. And our job is talking about horror movies.
That's our job. Yeah, that's our job.
That's our job. Our full time job.
It's my job. Clocking into work.
We do it 40 hours a week.
Can you imagine?
The daily grind.
9 to 5.
The daily grind.
But this week we are talking about X. It's in theaters currently. A new release, 2022.
Wow.
It was written and directed by Ty West, starring Mia Goth, Jenna Ortega, Brittany Snow, Kid Cudi, Martin Henderson, Owen Campbell, and Steven Urey.
Oh, fun cast.
It is a very fun cast. And I went and saw it in theaters. I loved it. And I'm excited to tell you guys about it.
I'm very excited. And only because you're excited and other people I know who like horror movies are like, ooh, this movie. I know literally nothing about it other than that. So
I'm also excited about X. I did watch the trailer for this and was I felt spooky. I'm spooked.
It's spooky, but it's like fun. It's like very much trying to.
It wants you to have a good time.
Pay homage.
I think so. Yeah.
Homage. Yeah.
To like 70s slashery, like there's like a lot of Texas Chainsaw vibes, mm-hmm. which is, you know, maybe not the thing to say to get you guys extra excited.
I don't think that's so fun, but I know what you mean.
But it's like also the porn industry, and it's just like a lot of good,
vibes. You know how we talked about how there are like moments in pop culture where it's like, remember, it was like The Prestige and The Illusionist, and like, right now it's porn.
Mm-hmm. 1970s porn.
Like, and Minx, also just like Minx,
X.
Pam and Tommy, which I know isn't 70s porn, but it's still porn. Like, I just feel like all of a sudden there's like all this porn related content.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I'm into it. Giving me some ideas.
I'm into it.
And you know, I'm so into. Oh my God. Is it set in the 70s?
Yes.
God,
1979.
I'm like so very inspired by 70s aesthetics right now. Oh, baby. I am loving it. I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, you know?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, baby. I give you some stats about it.
Please.
It has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holy shit.
I'm honestly like shocked by it. I mean, I really liked it, but horror movies never get that. Like,
wow.
Ever.
Do you think it has something to do with the fact that it's brand new? And so the only people rating it, like, there aren't that many. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you think
that
affects it?
I feel like it's been out for a couple weeks. It's still impressive. Yeah. I mean, it for sure might go down over time, but I feel like I'm still impressed that it's this right out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's a strong start.
But 79% on Metacritic and a 7.4 on IMDb, which is just like still pretty high for those as well.
Up in the sevens.
Yeah. I couldn't find the budget, but it made $4.4 million opening weekend and it's made $7.2 million so far. That's meaningless to us because we don't know.
That means nothing.
We don't know the budget. So hopefully it was low budget. I think it was.
Okay.
There's not a lot of trivia, but I will remind you guys that Ty West is part of the group of Mumblegore.
I was like, why do I know that name? We've talked about him before, maybe mentioned him.
He was in Your Next because that group kind of like rotates who's directing and who's acting and writing. Like they all kind of work together a lot. But we haven't done either of his other movies that he directed, which are House of the Devil and The Innkeepers, which have both been requested a lot. So we'll definitely have to do them eventually.
House of the Devil, is that Alexander Daddario?
No.
then fucking make it fuck me, I guess.
No, it's not.
What? No, Emily, it's not. So,
oh, so it's just completely wrong. Oh,
yeah. Well, I wish I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah,
I,
who knows?
I would have been like, idiot. Oh, you're thinking of this, but I really can't think of what that would be.
There's some god fucking
damn it. I want to see her in more things. I love Alex Daddario. I've only ever seen her in White Lotus.
Well, it's not House of the Devil.
It's not House of the Devil. If we could just strike that from the conversation, that would be great. Because Emily, that was wrong. No.
Yeah. I'm looking.
The other directors that are like mumblegore directors are the Duplass brothers, Joe Swanberg, Adam Wingard, Amy Semetz, and the ones that we have covered are, yeah, You're Next, and we did Creep, which is available on our Patreon.
Hated Creep.
Hated it.
Hated Creep.
It is upsetting. And this is the fifth horror movie for Mia Goth, who I just like love her as a little freaking scream queen.
I was thinking of We Summon the Darkness,
which is never heard of
only
it.
Related because it's a horror movie that stars Alexander, which I somehow thought was this, which or the other one, which it's not. So once again, fucking stupid, but I just wanted you guys to know she is in a horror movie, and I think it came up because it was one that I was thinking about watching because I had read that it's like not so hard to watch, maybe. Also, Johnny Knoxville's in it. So, Sammy.
Oh, that's fun.
You better check it out.
I love him. I'm a Steve-O girl at heart, but I
know, but you still, you know, you like them.
I love them all. I love them all. But yeah, I just love Mia Goth in everything, but also like specifically in horror. So she was in A Cure for Wellness, Marrowbone, Suspiria, High Life, and now this. I don't know if I would call High Life a horror movie. I've seen that.
Is she having Shia LaBeouf's baby? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That one's tough. That's tough, I think.
It is tough.
No. So they got together after FKA Twigs, I guess? Yeah.
I think they were together before
and then split up and then got back together.
I don't even know if they're, maybe they are currently together, but she's pregnant with them.
No.
I know. That one's tough. I really wish her the best. I wish him the best too, to be completely honest. I want him to, you know, heal. Get well.
Yeah. He's got a lot of trauma that he has to work through.
Yeah.
Ooh, having a baby doesn't help with that.
It doesn't help. It doesn't give you time to focus on you, I wouldn't say.
No.
Especially when a lot of your trauma seems to be from an outside perspective. I don't know anything. I don't know him, but related to his childhood. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, Mia Goth.
Wish them the best.
Right. Mia Goth. I guess that's all we have to say about that.
All you can do is laugh because there's nothing else to do.
Well, should we watch this trailer?
I think that's what we can do.
Farmer's daughter, take one. I need to be famous, Wayne. All the best people are.
There ain't nobody else out there like you. You know why?
Why?
Because you got that X factor. Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we go.
So this is it, our own studio backlot.
I'm looking for a place to stay.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's one ugly son of a bitch.
Now, my wife, Pearl, is next door, so I would appreciate a little discretion.
He don't know what we're doing, does he?
Well, it's better to beg for forgiveness and ask for permission.
Would you like to come inside?
Much obliged.
I want to be in the movie.
Well, you can't.
The story can't just change midway through.
If Daddy catches us, there's no telling what he might do.
My wife is not well. what happens after dark.
They're gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
What? Are you all right?
No.
The boys found this inside.
What do you think is on it?
I see one goddamn fucked up horror picture.
I'm excited.
Oh my god. I'm really excited.
It looks fun. Jenna Ortega is so watchable and so
how good is
freaking
that
cute
that freaking scream from her. What a good scream.
Oh my god, she is destined to be in a little horror movie star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
also I didn't know that Kid Cudi's name was Scott
Miscudi.
I didn't know that his name was Scott.
It is, yeah, but I feel like his IMDb is under Kid Cudi.
That's just how he's known.
He's great in it.
He's so great. I mean, nobody loves Kid. Shout out to Silent Jenna. Nobody loves Kid Cudi like Silent Jenna loves Kid
it's
Cudi.
It's true.
But he's so great.
And the other guy in it, I like while watching
it,
was
familiar to me.
This guy looks so familiar. What is this guy from? It's Martin Henderson. He's the main guy in The Ring. Which is kind of fun because I haven't seen him in, I don't think, anything between those two things.
Yeah, was that 1999, 2001?
Yeah, it was roughly 20 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure he has been in stuff, but I just haven't seen him in anything in a while. And so it took me a while to place him. And then I was like, ooh, that's fun. He's from horror movies that we've talked about.
They really made the old guy look like the creepy old grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
I feel like his scary long hair and bald head.
Yeah. That my wife isn't well after dark. I was like, is this the visit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is similar.
Or what's the one with Catherine Hahn? Which one? Oh, is that
The Visit?
That's The Visit.
Oh, I was thinking you were thinking of Relic.
See, I'm not the only stupid one.
I'm stupid.
Wait. We're all stupid.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make one mistake, you're stupid.
I was never trying to say I wasn't stupid, for the record.
You're not stupid. Don't talk about my friend like that.
Oh, cute. All right, should we freaking find out about this movie?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's dive in. And again, I'll just say, because this is a new release, you know, sometimes the recaps are a little less...
It's hard to do.
...reliable. But I think I'll do a pretty good job.
I'm sure you will.
I think you're going to be great.
I really believe in you.
So we start on some police cars arriving at like a crime scene. This is like a little farmhouse and kind of a swamp. It's like a swampy part of Texas. It was actually filmed in New Zealand, but it's set in Texas.
So interesting.
Yeah. And there are like covered bodies everywhere, like with, you know, blankets over them. But we see like some shit has gone down here and these cops are trying to piece it together. And on the TV inside this farmhouse, a broadcast is playing of like a televangelist preacher saying, like, talking about sin, and if you don't repent for your sins, like, you'll be going to hell and that kind of thing. We're going to see this broadcast repeated a lot.
Okay.
And then we go back in time basically to find out how we got here.
Okay, so this is the house that is currently behind you.
Yeah, and I actually usually don't like when movies start at the end. I always feel like it's kind of a cheap hook.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of works here because of the whole vibe of the movie. It didn't bother me here.
Wait, sorry. Did you say there are a lot of, like, their bodies?
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Can you tell how many, or is it just kind of like in the background? You can't really
see. We see at least three.
Okay.
And there's a lot of blood everywhere. Like, it's clear that something bad happened here.
And is this one we've seen from the trailer, the police talking and finding the camera? Or does that happen later?
That's later.
Okay.
So yeah, we go back in time and we go to meet Mia Goth's character.
Hey, Mia.
Her name is Maxine Minx, and she is a porn star, and we meet her. She's like in this back room doing coke and saying to herself in the mirror, I will not accept a life I do not deserve.
Yikes.
And in walks her boyfriend, Wayne, who is Martin Henderson from The Ring, who is like the producer, kind of sleazy producer. Like, he's really channeling kind of a Matthew McConaughey and Magic Mike type of vibe.
We like Matthew McConaughey and Magic Mike. So.
I mean, it's true. But you know what I mean? Like, just kind of.
You know, sort of be careful, like, what we're saying about.
Maybe a sleazier version of that.
Great. Mm-hmm. That I can take.
So this is her boyfriend, and there's like talk of like, oh, we're going to make you a star. She really wants to be famous, and they are going to hit the road and go to another location to film a porno. And they all get in the car. We meet the other stars of the porno, which are Brittany Snow and Kid Cudi. Their names are Bobby Lynn and Jackson Hole. And they all like pile into this van, which is very much like the beginning of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where it's like the group of them getting in the van, driving into the Texas countryside. And as they're driving out, Wayne is handing out copies of the script for the porn. It's called The Farmer's Daughters. And they're reading it again, like everyone's pretty excited, like feeling like this is a time when the porn industry is like booming. They feel like they're going to like make it big. They're going to be rich. There's further in the back of the van, RJ and Lorraine. Lorraine is Jenna Ortega. RJ is Owen Campbell. And RJ is the director. And so he's the one with the camera filming, and Lorraine will be running sound, and it's Lorraine is his girlfriend, and she's kind of quiet and looks out of place and is like a little shocked by like this isn't her normal scene. So they like stop for gas on their way out, and the gas prices are 60 cents a gallon. The whole theater had a big laugh.
Oh, that's great.
I saw for the first time, a number starting with 7 the other day. And yeah, not for diesel, for regular gasoline.
Yeah. Holy shit, that's real bad.
It's gotten real bad in LA. I mean, it's got bad everywhere, but like, it's...
No, poof. That's really... Because we were just driving to Maryland and it was like $4. Like, oh, not
that
bad.
Was when it was good here.
Yeah, fuck. Sorry, yeah. Guys.
Yeah, it's bad. But they stop at this gas station, and Wayne and Maxine go in the store, and she again is like saying like, I want to be famous, Wayne. She's got a good Southern accent, Mia Goth, normally British. And he's telling her like, you are going to be famous because you've got that X factor. Mm. Oh, but the title X is like also a reference to X ratings, I guess.
Yes.
In the 70s, having an X rating meant that you could play in the theater without having to like go through the MPAA or something. And then the MPAA like got rid of it and changed it to NC-17.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that. All of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, I remember things being like X rate like that. And now I'm like, oh no, it's just NC-17.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore. But it was like a loophole at the time that you could like play porn in theaters as long as you rate like said anymore. It's rated X. I think you got to go to special theater for it now.
You've got to go to special theater.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they had theaters where
your computer at home.
Yes.
Everyone was like masturbating in those theaters, but then they got rid of those theaters.
There was one. There was one by my house in LA when I first moved to LA. I never went to it, but it was. Can you imagine if I did go to it? It'd be so weird.
I wouldn't shame you if you did.
No,
I
just that feel would be like fun,
I
though.
Would be surprised.
I'm not shaming anyone, but if I went in there, I would be so uncomfortable. But I guess my only interpretation of it is like things that I have seen in movies. So yeah, I'm like picturing like just like a room full of men like vigorously masturbating and like me in there like
that would honestly probably be
that probably
it.
Is what it is.
I don't know what else it would be. Like a family of four going.
Sounds bad.
Does sound bad.
So again, in this convenience store at the gas station, we see that televangelist on the TV again being like, the wrath of God is going to rain down upon you. So we get this contrast of like these people in the porn industry and, you know, this religious guy being like, the times are changing and all these people are going to hell. Mm-hmm. Outside, we see RJ starting to film a bit with Jackson Hole and Bobby Lynn. And it's like Jackson putting gas in the car, and they frame it in such a way that it like looks like his dick. And and RJ at some point has a conversation with Lorraine where she's like a little bit like grossed out by it and is like, how can you do this? Like, what why do you want to do this kind of movie? And he's like, we're making it artistic. Like, this is going to be a good picture. Like, it's not going to be like the other ones. Like, ours is going to be elevated. Like, I'm a good director and like I care about this. And so she's like, all right, she's along for the ride, but doesn't seem like super into it. So they continue on and they arrive at the farmhouse that they'll be staying at. And Wayne gets out of the van and goes to knock on the front door to tell the person. He said he's like called ahead and spoke to this man on the phone. He has a spare like guest house. And am I talking in like a slight Southern accent? I just heard myself. Oh,
just when you were talking, you were just saying what RJ said, and he has a Southern accent,
right? That part I was, I think, meaning to say it in a, but yeah, just now, okay, in this talking about Wayne knocking on the door. Did it, like, I was like, stick around? Am I talking to Nisa?
Am I? Oh my God, that sounded a little bit. Honestly, you could, and it would just lull me
it's
into.
It's fine. If I do, forgive me if I do.
Forgive me if I do.
I'm just getting into character.
You're good at it.
So Wayne knocks on the front door, and Howard, the old man whose property this is, answers it with a shotgun pointed at him. And
yikes. Yeah, you just said shotgun.
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 I don't know what it is. I can't.
You're in the zone.
I'm in the zone. But it's a stressful scene. He's obviously scared and is like, hey, I like called you on the phone. Howard doesn't seem to remember and is like, this is private property. Get off my property. And they see the rest of the group sees from inside the van, like, this doesn't look right. They see like the front of a shotgun pointing out of the car and they're like, oh, something's wrong. And Maxine opens the glove compartment and there's a handgun in there. And they like start grabbing it, but then the situation is diffused. Howard remembers and he's like, no, I called you. I spoke to you about renting the place, your guest house. And he's like, oh, right. Of course, lowers the shotgun, sets it down. He says, it's not even loaded anyways. Wayne is like, oh, I get it. I have an unloaded gun in my glove compartment too. Like, I get it. Then Howard says, like, I thought it was just going to be you staying here. He sees that there's like a whole group of people that look like young. They're dressed like they're
porn stars.
Yeah, they're dressed like porn stars.
Sluts. He's a van like, full of sluts, and he's like, wait.
Yeah. Oh, and Howard also has the televangelist playing. So he's like eyeing them and being like, these are like undesirables on my property type of look. And Wayne pays him extra. He's like, I know, I'm sorry, but I thought maybe I'll just pay you like triple or something, and hands him a big wad of cash. And that seems to put Howard's mind at ease. And he's like, all right, fine. Starts walking them out to the guest house. They're walking through. It's like these like,
oh my goodness. Oh,
gorgeous.
Wow. Jenny Ortega looks like she's 9 years old.
She does. She really look really does. Young.
I had to look up how old she is because I was like, wait, how is she hanging out with them?
How old is she? Is she like 22?
She's 19.
19.
Yeah, that's young.
She's a young.
Young.
Yeah. So they walk out to the guest house, which is just a couple hundred feet away from the main house. And oh, before they walk away, Maxine sees an old woman in the like top floor window of the main house watching them and gets a little creeped out by it. They go out to the guest house and Howard leaves, like gets them like settled in, is like, please like use discretion. My wife like doesn't know that you guys are all here. And not that she doesn't know, I guess, but like, just don't upset my wife. My wife's not well. And like, just can you keep it down and stuff? I think Lorraine is the one that says like, they don't know what we're doing here, do they? And Wayne says, better to ask forgiveness than permission type of thing. Like, so no, they don't. And they start filming and we get kind of like long scenes of the like porn film that they're making. And we saw a little bit in the trailer of like Jackson Hole arriving and Bobby Lynn being like, do you want to come inside? And he says, much obliged. Like, there's a lot of fun little cheesy porn dialogue. It's great. It's super fun. But it's like kind of long in that scene. It's like, oh, we're really like watching the porn story for a bit. And it's, as the farmer's daughter's title might suggest, she's the, her daddy's a farmer and he's out of town, out of the house right now. He'll be back later. And like, I can fix you some lemonade type of thing. And while this is happening, Maxine goes out to like walk around the property a bit. Cause this isn't her scene. They're filming other scenes first. So she goes out wearing like shorts, overalls with nothing underneath, like no top underneath. It's like a very sexy little outfit, but also like walking through these long weeds in, I don't know. I'm like, so I hate bugs so much.
You're like, bug bites on my
bug
boobs.
Bugs everywhere.
On my boobs.
Yeah. I'd be wearing a turtleneck and
cover up.
But she finds there's like a lake with a dock, and she walks out on the dock and is like dipping her toes in the water. And we see a little shot of an alligator in the reeds. And she decides that she's going to go swimming. She takes off the overalls and goes in, and she's just like floating on her back. And we see the old woman peek out from behind a tree, like watching her in a way that is kind of funny. I think like The Visit, like it's just
made
like,
me laugh. It's like, ooh. Ooh, is she naked?
It's, yeah, it's very funny, but also like, we know this is not going to be good, whatever this lady's doing.
It's not going to be good.
And so we get this like really cool overhead shot of Maxine laying in the water and a huge fucking alligator like swimming towards her from far away. And she turns and like starts swimming back in. She doesn't notice it and makes it back to the dock without the alligator reaching her and doesn't even notice it.
Okay.
But it's a stressful little scene.
Would an alligator just come up and eat you? Is that a thing?
No.
No. They have to be provoked, right?
Well, they either have to... I mean, if it was very... I don't fucking know.
You're
no,
from
I'm
Florida. Emily's from Florida. She's the expert.
I grew up in Florida. No, no. Truly, they won't... They're very lazy and their metabolism is really slow. So they're not going to like expend extra energy. If they're very, very, very hungry, they'll eat you. But mainly the reason why alligators eat people is they think that they're fish. They're like, so like if that like dipping your little feet in the water, right? Like,
yeah,
that makes them get you because they think that you're a fish. They don't want to go after a human.
But like,
maybe they know you're a human.
If your whole body's in the water, it's actually maybe safer than if just your feet are in the water.
I think so. I think like the splashing is what, like, you know, they think them. It's like a fish, yeah, jumping or something.
That's kind of similar to sharks. I feel like sharks, they go for like people on surfboards because it's like a different shape than a human shape. It's like closer to a seal shape.
They should know better.
That's true. Maybe alligators should know better. They're all stupid.
They're all pretty, yeah, they're pretty stupid. Which is interesting when you think about it. They've been alive for so long.
Alligators and sharks are like two of the oldest species. They should have figured it out by now.
Intelligence would help you survive that long, but that's not what it seems to be.
They don't need it. They're doing just fine.
They're doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention there's this, like the editing style of this, it kind of goes back and forth between the current scene and the next scene in a way that's kind of interesting and kind of distracting. Like, it'll show a few frames of the next scene and then go back to the scene and like go back and forth a few times before fully transitioning to the next scene. It's a little jarring, but it's also like kind of like, oh, you don't often see people taking risks with editing. And so it's kind of fun to see. I don't know that it fully works, but I like that they tried it.
Okay, cool. Great. Why not? Why not? I'm trying to picture in my head what that would be like, and I'm struggling to.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
like a little unsettling.
Yeah, it just kind of like makes you do a double take for a second. I think that's probably the intended effect of just like feels like, huh, what? And then it's like, okay. Mm. So then she somehow, as she like gets out of the lake, the old woman sees her in a more like normal setting, like maybe she's out on the porch or something, and beckons her to come inside. And Maxine is definitely creeped out by her, but doesn't know that she was watching her in the water. So she's not as creeped out by her as she should be yet. Mm-hmm. And she goes inside. She's like, we're on this woman's property. Like, probably I don't want to be rude. And
she's still like topless, basically.
She's in her overalls. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the old woman doesn't look like angry about it. She's more like coveting it. Like, she's like very intrigued by Maxine. Mm. But she doesn't say much to her. She literally like beckons her in wordlessly. And Maxine goes in and sits in the kitchen with her. And the old woman's name is Pearl. And Pearl pours her a tall glass of lemonade. And they're sitting there, and Maxine just chugs the lemonade because she's very uncomfortable. It's pretty funny. She just like downs an entire glass of lemonade and then is like, well, I better be going. And she gets up to leave and Pearl stops her and is like, let me just show you like this photo. There's photos hung up in the entryway, like near the front door, and photos of her younger. And she shows her and her husband younger. And she's like, this is me and Howard. I used to be a dancer, and there's photos of her as a dancer, and she's like looking at it very nostalgically, like clearly thinking about her youth and like, look how beautiful I used to be. Mm-hmm. And Maxine is kind of like feels sad for her and is taking a bit of pity on her, I guess, and being a little softens to her kind of. And as she's looking at some of the photos, we hear Howard's truck come back. He was gone and he like returns home. And Pearl's like, you should go. It'll be our little secret. And as she says that, she reaches out and touches like the side of Maxine's like breast because she's in a like a not hat. She doesn't have a shirt on and touches her in like an inappropriate way. And Maxine is very grossed out and is like, what'll be our secret? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then just leaves because Howard's approaching and she just is freaked out and runs out.
Uh-oh.
As she gets back to the guest house, Wayne is like, hurry up. It's your scene. It's your time. And again, we see like a full scene of this porn film where Maxine is milking a cow. And she's in the same outfit in these overalls. So this is her porn scene outfit. And she's milking a cow and Jackson Hole comes in and they talk about, oh, you must have been with my sister. Like, she's so jealous of me because I'm younger and prettier. And they like end up going back to the house to have sex. I can't actually remember how the porn plot goes, but.
Mm-hmm. We'll fill in the pieces.
It's got to lead to them having sex. And the way that this is filmed is like Maxine is a star. Like, we saw Lorraine as she's recording sound for Bobby Lynn and Jackson Hole's scene, and she is kind of like intrigued but a little still like not grossed out, but just like, ooh, like this is a lot. But she looks hypnotized by Maxine having sex. Like, she is clearly, you can't take your eyes off her. She is a star.
Interesting.
Okay.
And as she's having sex with Jackson Hole, we see Pearl peeking into that window. Oh,
no, Pearl, get out of there. Pearl, you're gross.
It's gross. And she's Pearl. Also like very much in the shot, like the window is
this is like reading very funny to me, even though I know it's technically not.
No, it's a little funny, but she's, the camera is facing that direction, so she would be in the shot. And so, and they don't stop, like they don't notice her, and so it's just funny to imagine the people watching that porn later.
Wait, do we think that Lorraine actually is like in love with Maxine? Wait, Lorraine's the sound is Jenny Ortega, right? Or what's her name? Is it Jenny Ortega?
I think it's just that she is like, whoa, this is okay. She's just feeling it. It's kind of like that moment where she's thinking like, I get it now. Like, this is hot. Maybe I don't think she's in love with her, but she's just it.
She's something like, clicks. This works.
Yeah, something clicks for her.
Okay, all right.
And there's like a shot where Maxine looks over her shoulder and sees Pearl, and a quick shot where I assume this is Pearl's imagination, where Pearl is having sex with Jackson Hole. Mm-hmm. And it's an unsettling moment. But then Pearl goes home and asks Howard to have sex. She's like horny now. And Howard is like, you know, I can't. They're very old. They're like, they are 80s or 90s. And he says, you know, I can't, my heart. And she's trying to caress his face and kiss him. And he like pushes her off. And he's like, I love you so much, but you know, I can't, like, it's too dangerous. I know, it's really sad. Like, they just are too old to have sex. And she's just I don't know. She's like so unhappy and so, yeah, she's so sad by this. She goes upstairs by herself and is just looking at herself in the mirror, brushing her hair, yearning for her youth. And she puts on, Maxine is wearing bright blue eyeshadow. We see Pearl putting on the bright blue eyeshadow, imagining herself younger. It's very sad. I think a lot of this movie is kind of a reflection on aging and the loss of youth and that not being in your prime. And it's sad.
That's sad.
It's very
sad.
That night we see the crew all sitting around in the living room of their guest house talking to each other. Again, Lorraine is asking them about, she's more interested now in asking them like, well, how do you guys do this? Doesn't it make you feel weird having sex on camera for other people to see? Bobby Lynn and Maxine are very much like, it's just sex. Like, it's our bodies and it's like, it feels good and we like doing it. And it's, you know, not a relationship. Bobby and Jackson Hole are kind of in a relationship. It's clearly loose. She calls him, he's my boyfriend sometimes. So they're, you know, have feelings for each other. But so everyone's explaining why they like what they do. They're like, this is our choice. We like our lives. We like this. And Lorraine is like, you know, I don't know if I agree with all of that, but I like what I saw today. Like, I get it more than I did before. And she says, so I want to be in the movie.
Huge 180. Huge 180.
And RJ is like, what? And he, by the way, has just been like defending the porn industry and been like, it's totally fine and like this movie's gonna be really good. But then she's like, okay, well, I want to be in it. And he's like, excuse me, like, you can't, like, absolutely not. And she's like, what do you mean absolutely not? And Wayne also is like, well, wait a second here, like, let's let the lady
let's find out what she has to say.
I don't know.
RJ then comes at it from more of a like, well, the story, you can't change the story halfway through. The script's been written. And Lorraine says, what about Psycho? You always talk about how you love Psycho. That movie changes halfway through. And he's like, that's a thriller. That's something they were trying to do. Like, that's not what we're setting out to do. But it's a fun little meta moment because this is kind of where this movie takes a turn and tonally becomes something else. But Wayne wants her to be in the movie. Very much. He's the producer and is like, she should make her own decisions. And she says, like, I want to do it. And so they start shooting a scene with her and Jackson. We don't really see it. They don't show hers as much because she's 19.
She's 19 years old. And yeah, at the time of filming, maybe 18 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great point. Yeah.
Which, you know, legal, but gross.
Barely.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah. So they afterwards all go to bed. We see RJ crying in the shower and at this point, the way this shower scene is filmed, it's filmed overhead again. And I'm thinking we're going to get like a psycho shower death. We don't, but it's just fun to have a little shower moment also to mark this turn from like story to now it's going to become a bloodbath.
Oh boy.
And he, after his shower, storms out. And again, everybody's in bed sleeping. And he gets in the van and angrily says, you know, we'll see how they do without me. Like, he's just going to leave them there.
What? What a like freaking hypocrite.
Yeah.
He's having a little tantrum for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't have gone through with it, but
We won't know.
We won't know.
So he is driving away, but stops because Pearl is standing in the driveway and he gets out and, you know, he looks concerned and goes up to her and says, ma'am, are you okay? She says, no. And she's, you know, just being kind of silent and creepy. And we know that nothing good is about to happen.
Oh, no.
And she starts like caressing him and trying to kiss him, and he obviously is not into it and is pushing her away, like, ma'am, like, can I get your husband, like, are you, like, are, do you need me to help you
get inside?
The woman wants to have sex, her husband can't do it. And he pushes her off and is like, lady, I'm not doing that with you. And she stabs him right in the throat. It's really quick. It's like almost a jump scare. And he stumbles back and falls backwards, and she straddles him and is just watching him kind of choke on like the knife and blood. Like the knife is still like sticking out of his neck. And she then takes the knife out and goes, stabs again. And again, and again, and again, and then just like keep stabbing. It is like spraying blood. This is happening right in front of the van. So the headlights are shining on them, and this blood splatter gets on the headlights. So then it's all like red lighting. It looks very cool. But she stabs his head so many times that his neck. So she's almost decapitating him, but not from slicing, just from so many stabs. Stab, 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 stab. And she gets drenched in blood, and then she gets up and she starts dancing.
Oh my god, she was a dancer when she
was
young.
A dancer.
She's feeling herself.
And this is a scene in which I cried, which is
what
it's definitely not meant to be a scene that you cry in, but I, at this point, really felt for her. Like, she just, it feels like she's just waiting to die at this point. It's kind of how they set up her life. Like, she just has nothing to look forward to in life. She can't have sex with her husband. It just made me feel really sad. And it's like, this is the moment where she feels alive again. It was like something to give her, make her like feel something. I'm not saying she should have done it. I'm not saying it was good. I'm not saying it was right. But like the way that it gives her joy that she can't get from anything else in her life just made me cry. I was like, I don't know. I was very moved by it.
I get it.
And everybody else in the theater was laughing and laughing, which...
Oh, they were laughing.
Yes. There was people laughed a lot in this movie. And I think about, similarly, that happened in Mandy, because people think of Nicolas Cage as an over-the-top actor that you laugh at.
Wrong.
It's not right. It's not correct.
It's not correct.
And I don't know. I think there's something in horror movies that you kind of...
You want to release something.
Yeah, crying and laughing are not all that different moment. It's like they're feeling something and they have to release it. It provoked tears because you can access that.
Exactly.
But I understand why the same moment would make people laugh, because they're just like, you know.
You gotta release that energy somewhere. You gotta
get it out.
You can't keep it in.
You cannot keep it.
So then we go back into the guest house and see that Lorraine is waking up and seeing that RJ's gone. She's wants to go find him. And this is the music also changes here. The music is really good. It's like, I can only describe it as porno horror music. You know, the like waka 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 in porn.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that, but like slowed down to a way that's like cool. Very creepy, but it's the same instrumentation that you would hear in 70s porn music. I loved it. And so Wayne also wakes up. I think he's in the kitchen, and Lorraine finds him in the kitchen and asks him for help to find RJ. And he looks outside and is like, well, Van's still here. So he's here somewhere.
Is it middle of the night?
It's middle of the night. Yeah.
It's still middle of the night. Okay.
And Wayne is in just tidy whities.
Great.
And he's like, we'll go find him. He's here somewhere. The van's here. He's got to be on the property. So they go out, and Wayne is barefoot in just the tidy whities, walking around this like swampy land at nighttime, which again, mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yeah, snakes, bugs. Sharp sticks.
Sticks.
And to make matters worse, they split up. He says, I'll check the barn. You I don't know, check elsewhere. So he goes into the barn by himself, and it shows his feet, like bare feet, walking along the hay in the barn. I'm thinking, this guy's got to get some shoes on. And of course, the camera pans down, and we see a nail, an upright nail, right in his path from a floorboard sticking out, and he steps on it. Goes right through his foot. He starts screaming. It's pouring a lot of blood. And then he has to continue to like walk through this nasty fucking hay with a open wound in his foot. It's really gross. And he sees there are three holes in the side of the wall of the barn. And he sees like a shadow pass by, and he's trying to yell. He thinks it's Lorraine, and is like, Lorraine, I need help. I like stepped on something. And starts crawling over to the three holes, and Lorraine doesn't respond. And he gets closer and looks at the, like, puts his eye straight up to one of the holes. We know this is not going to be good. And a fucking pitchfork comes through those three holes.
Oh my God.
And plucks his eyes, like, right out of his head. And it's funny because he says a line earlier about the porn that they're making. He's like, people's eyes are going to pop out of their heads. It's just a fun little fun little foreshadowing.
Would it be that easy to just pluck an eye out?
I don't think so. That probably not. Has to be perfectly spaced.
Probably not. But it's very much like that kind of grindhouse vibe. Yeah. 70s horror. So again, it like makes it a little bit funny. Then we see Lorraine is going up to the main house, and Howard comes out and is like, what are you doing out here in the middle of the night? Lorraine says, my boyfriend's missing. I'm wondering if you can help me find him. And he's like, okay, like, come on in. Like, let's grab some flashlights. And he has a flashlight and says, I've got another one down in my basement. Just go grab it.
Okay.
And now, is he scary?
We're not sure yet.
Okay.
He's not, like, comforting presence, but
sure.
We're kind of, it's possible at this point that maybe he's just worried about his wife and trying to, like, keep the people on his property, like, out of her business as much as possible. We're not sure.
Okay.
But pretty soon here, we're going to find out.
Oh, we're going to find out. Okay.
All right.
So she looks a little nervous to go down into the basement, understandably, but she goes down, and sure enough, there's a flashlight right there, and she says, got it, grabs it, starts running back up, and he closes a door on her and locks it.
Oh, God.
Locks her in that basement.
So he's not
good. He's not good.
Nope.
And she's banging on the door, can't get out, freaking out, and then runs back down into the basement to see if there's like another way out, shining her flashlight around. And there is a man's hung up corpse like hanging from the ceiling. And it's like really bruised around the penis area, which I really... really don't like the implication here.
What? Wait, what? So it's like a fresh corpse.
It's pretty.
Like
it's
a new corpse.
But it's not RJ.
It's not RJ. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no, no, no. And she's all...
This is actually where she does her good scream. And she goes... What if that was the acting choice that Jen Ortega made at this moment? Just going the full Patty Harrison, and I think you should leave.
Then it would be funny.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's a corpse. There's a corpse hanging up.
I wrote a corpse with a beat up penis. That's a phrase that
Sammy,
that I don't like.
Sammy,
a beat up penis.
I know. I know.
I really don't like that. Ugh. I don't like it at all. Can we see his face at all, or we don't really know who he is?
It's, he's just like, I think it's an person. Unknown person. You can kind of see his face, but yeah, I think it's just someone else that was on this property at a time. It's, yeah, I think the implication is that it was Pearl's previous little sex slave, and that maybe Howard is trying to give his wife something to satisfy her in a way that he can't. So maybe this is something they've done before.
Oh, well, it is too dangerous to have sex with her then, and he is not wrong.
Yeah, his heart would give out.
His heart would definitely give out. He
can't beat up his Jesus. Old penis. Oh my God.
We go back to the barn, and we see Pearl coming in. She's drenched in blood and carrying the pitchfork, and she walks up to Wayne's body and slowly stabs it to make sure he's dead, and he is, but it's kind of funny. She's just like, poke, poke. He's dead. And Howard now is walking out to the guest house with his shotgun and knocks on the door. Jackson gets up and opens the door.
No.
And Howard says, I can't find my wife. This happens sometimes at nighttime. She gets confused. Can you help me find her? Jackson says, like, I was in Nam. There's a moment earlier where Howard says how he was, like, fought in World War II. And Jackson is like, this is how I'm, like, going to get on this guy's good side. Like, we're both veterans. Like, I got you. I'm going to help you, man. And then it zooms out to a wide shot and it's a silhouette. And you just see Jackson's, like, huge penis. He's just completely naked. You just see the silhouette of his, like, dick hanging between his legs, and it's enormous. And Ty West actually did a Reddit AMA recently, and someone said, is Kid Cudi's penis that big, or is that a prosthetic? And he wrote, some things are better left, like, unsaid, or something like that. So I'm sure it's a prosthetic.
We'll never know. It's got to be a prosthetic. That would be
not that Kid Cudi's dick must be small, but I think in general they do prosthetics for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, he says, I'll help you. Let me get my drawers on. And they go and head towards the lake, and they split up and go different directions around the lake. And as Jackson is walking, he sees a little, like, VW car in the water, like, sunk into the lake. It was also similar to Psycho. And he's concerned by that, but is more concerned about the missing old lady. I mean, you'd think they're just like a little old couple. What could they do?
Totally innocent.
Yeah. And so he does a lap and he doesn't find Pearl, and then gets back to Howard and is like, I don't think she's out here. Also, like, I was thinking, like, yeah, if you fought in Vietnam, like, walking around a farmhouse in at night, like, looking for an old woman is, like, not gonna feel scary, right? Like, I feel like you've done this.
Unless
you have PTSD, valid,
right?
Yeah.
He gets back to Howard and says, I didn't see her, and Howard just shoots him in the chest with the shotgun.
Oh my God. Okay, fine, Howard. Fine.
Why make him walk? Why not just shoot him right away?
I don't know.
Like, why?
I don't know.
He wants, like, help. He's like, maybe he can find her. Maybe Pearl will have fun.
Ay-yay.
We see Pearl going into the guest house, and now it's just Maxine and Bobby Lynn in there. They're both sleeping, and Pearl goes into Maxine's room, and she gets naked, and slides into the bed next to her. And Maxine is also naked, and I really hated this part. I'm like dissociating now as I'm retelling it. That's kind of it. But she just, like, touches her. She's just, like, caressing her, and she's also, like, still covered in blood, so she's getting, like, blood on her side. Here, I have a photo of it, I think.
What?
Look at that hair.
It's so gross. She's just, like, rubbing her and, like, getting turned on. And Maxine is just, like, completely asleep. It's so gross.
Ew.
We see Lorraine back in the basement looking around. She finds an axe and she starts chopping at the at the basement door to get back into the house. It's very like The Shining, and she creates a little, like a little strip to like look through. And of course it's the opposite side of where the door handle is. So she has to reach her arm out and around to try to reach the handle. And Howard, of course, comes back and fucking smashes her hand with the back of his shotgun and literally like smashes one of her fingers off, like smashes it so hard. She's screaming, pulls her hand back in, screaming and crying. Lorraine can't get out of the basement. Back in the house, we see Bobby Lynn in bed, and Maxine wakes up screaming. And Bobby Lynn hears it. We actually see like there's a moment of Pearl. Maxine turns over to face Pearl with her eyes still closed, still asleep. And Pearl is just like laying face to face, just right next to each other. And eventually Maxine opens her eyes and starts screaming. Bobby Lynn hears it, jumps up, opens her door, sees naked Pearl like running out of the house. Maxine goes into Maxine's room. Maxine's screaming, "That woman was in here in my bed touching me." And everybody's very freaked out. Bobby Lynn chases after the woman and finds her on standing on the edge of the dock and just looking almost catatonic. And Bobby Lynn turns, like grabs her by the shoulders and says, "Ma'am, like my nana used to get confused too. Like, I can help you. I need to get you back into your bed." No. And Pearl comes back too, calls her a whore and pushes her in the water. And that alligator just freaking chomps her and does that fucking death spiral.
Oh,
I fucking hate that so
And
much.
Apparently this was like mostly practical, and Brittany Snow had to like a fake alligator, but like was really like spun with a model alligator. And apparently it was still painful because it wasn't like,
horrible.
And then they did, I had a stunt person do it too, but it looks, it looks real. It looks like she gets killed by an alligator.
Oh my God.
And this is when Howard finds Pearl, and together they start walking back to the guest house. We see, to the guest house, and we see Maxine seeing them come. Maxine was like about to run out, but sees them coming, and so runs back in like, I gotta hide in here. Also probably heard Bobby Lynn like screaming and dying, and so knows everything is not good. She already knew that, but knows it even more now. Howard and Pearl come in to search the house, thinking only they like know how many people they've killed, so they're like, there's only one left, one in the basement too, we gotta find Maxine. And they look at the house, search the house, and they can't find her, and they're like, oh, she's not in here. And they sit down on her bed, and again, Pearl is just like coming on to her husband, and she's like, "I just like, do you even think I'm pretty anymore? Do you even love me anymore? Like, are you disgusted by me?" And he's like, "I think you're the most beautiful woman in the world, and I always have, and I still do, and I always will." And they start kissing, and she's like, "Please, can't we just oh have God. sex?" And he's like, "Okay, all right, we can try." They start having sex, and of course Maxine is under the bed
like, what the fuck is going on,
just hearing them have sex. And while they're having sex, she crawls out from under the bed and is able to escape while they're distracted. And she runs into the main house. As she runs to the main house, she runs past RJ's body. And so we see that his head is, like basically detached. She's fucking freaked out by that. And she runs into the main house because the van doesn't have the keys. So she needs the car. She needs the car keys. And she grabs the gun from the glove compartment.
But it's not loaded. And
she doesn't know that. And she runs to the house is looking for the keys, hears Lorraine screaming and goes to let Lorraine out of the basement and is like, come with me. Like, we got to get out of here. I got to find the car keys. And Lorraine starts screaming at her. This is all your fucking fault. I fucking hate you. Like, leave me alone. And the whole reason I'm here because of you guys. And like, I shouldn't even be here. And she just runs straight out the front door. And the second she steps out, boom, she gets shot in the side of the head by a shotgun. Howard and Pearl have returned.
Are done having sex.
Yeah. And so Lorraine gone. But they don't know that Pearl is, or that Maxine is in the house. So they're not like rushing to get in. And they start kind of slowly grabbing Lorraine's body, trying to drag it in for some reason.
They're so healthy for like 80 and 90 year olds. They're like very
well, they do this a lot. That's how you stay fit.
Yeah super moving fit. Dead bodies. Yeah, it's a great workout.
Mm-hmm.
And so Howard is dragging Lorraine's body in. And as he gets her just inside the front like step, she has a moment of like a last little like blood spurtle thing, like I don't know. Ew. A little reaction, like she's not gonna survive, but she just has a little jerky motion and it scares Howard and he has a heart attack and dies.
What? Wow. Okay.
And collapses.
Sure.
Maxine sees this happen, sizes up the situation and is like, all right, he had the shotgun in his other hand and so Pearl doesn't have the shotgun. Maxine thinks I've got a gun. Pearl doesn't. I like these chances. So she just goes straight up to Pearl and is like, where are the fucking car keys? And Pearl is crying, sobbing. Her husband has just died. And she's like, tells her where they are. They're in the kitchen. Maxine goes and grabs them. And by the time she gets back, Pearl has grabbed the shotgun.
Yeah.
And Maxine fires her gun at her. Doesn't have any bullets. And so then Pearl is able to get the shotgun and shoot at Maxine, but she's clearly not as good with the shotgun. She doesn't like aim great. And the force of the shotgun shoots her backwards. She comically flies like 15 feet out of the front door of the house, like onto the front porch area. And, is screaming in pain. She's broken her hip and.
Okay.
Also, during all this, again, this like televangelist is still on the TV screen. It's always in like the background. And Maxine walks out of the house. I think she probably grabs the shotgun too and is now looking like, well, like it's game over. I've won. And looks down at Pearl. Pearl is crying to her for help. Is like, please, please help me. Maxine does the little quiet place with her finger. And then Pearl starts screaming at her and is like, she says, like, I was beautiful like you. You're going to be just like me one day. You're going to be just like me and you'll understand. And Maxine grabs or gets into the truck and reverses right over Pearl's head and then drives back over it. The head explodes like a watermelon.
Gross.
And as she drives off and she does a little line of cocaine off of her hand and she says to herself, I will not accept a life I don't deserve. And then we cut back to the next day, presumably where we started the movie, where the cops are on the scene again surveying the scene. Now we know like whose body is whose, which is kind of fun. We see on the TV the televangelist guy saying, I have firsthand experience of losing someone to a life of sin. And he turns to a photo and we see that Maxine is his daughter and says, my daughter left the church for a life of sin and I need all of us to pray for her. And outside, we see the other cop discovering the camera and bringing it up to the main deputy or detective guy and is like, what do you reckon's on this? And he says, probably one goddamn fucked up horror picture. And that's the end of the movie.
I really thought something like supernatural was going on with Pearl, but there wasn't. She was just a crazy psychopathic.
She's driven mad by
being old and horny.
Aging.
Yeah. And
being old and horny.
Then there is a post credits scene and some fun trivia that's going to blow your guys' minds. So Pearl is also played by Mia Goth.
Oh.
Which is similar to the Tilda Swinton in Suspiria, which Mia Goth was also in, which I think is kind of interesting.
Oh. Okay. But they're not, even though she played Pearl, it's not like she was Pearl or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but
I kept thinking there was going to be something like that going on with all of this.
No, you know but what I mean? In the post-credit scene, it's like a grindhouse style trailer for a movie called Pearl. That's about young Pearl, who is again Mia Goth.
Yeah, goth.
And that movie is actually happening, and they've already filmed it all, and it comes out later this year.
Whoa. Wait,
what? Isn't that crazy? I guess A24 like greenlit it immediately because Ty West they were already there and they filmed it like right back to back. He had already written another script and was like, we've built this set. Mia Goth is down to like stay for 3 more months to do this next movie. So they just did it one right after the other.
Whoa, that's crazy.
So it's in post right now. And
okay,
we'll get to find out more about Pearl.
It's like a prequel to X, kind of.
Yeah.
Wow.
X is a full franchise now. That's very cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Damn.
Well, Pearl is a psychopath.
This is wild.
Can't wait to dig into that a little bit.
How it came to be. Yeah.
It's a horror movie, right? I'm assuming.
I would assume so, yeah.
It's a rom-com about her and Howard.
That would be great. I would honestly love it if we switched up genres for Pearl.
Oh my gosh. What an interesting time.
Yeah.
This was.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, I think it's really fun and also touches on a lot of real life things that are sad and scary, like aging and
wanting to be in porn. Yeah. Like, it's so sad. Jenna Ortega, she wanted to be in porn.
And she died for it. Hey,
she died.
Always be stressed. Never be horny, baby.
Never be horny.
Will you show us, Sammy, an image of Pearl? I want to see if I can see.
Yeah. I did not notice during it. I didn't know that watching it, but then kind of near the end, I suspected a bit. But yeah, let's see. She's pretty unrecognizable, and there's an interview with Brittany Snow where she said it was like very weird because you really
couldn't tell.
Don't see Mia at all in these.
The prosthetics must have been
like
really
Colin
good.
Farrell in the Batman where I couldn't see. Right. I couldn't see Colin Farrell.
Right.
Ah! Oh, Jesus.
That's them lying in bed together.
I mean, that's very impressive makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't look the same at all.
No, she didn't look the same at all to me either. Like there's really no part of it, like even the eyes. I wonder if they did like different contact lenses or something, because I didn't even really see it in her eyes, but I'll probably see it again at some point, and I'll definitely be looking for that on a second viewing. But
wow.
Yeah.
Sammy, thank you for this. That was that was surprising. I really was waiting for there to be like something else, like something else going on, but it was just two psycho old people.
Just a true slasher.
That's great. That's great.
70s scary people, Texas, one of those, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One of those.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the classic
back
formula.
Back to basics.
Yeah. Wow. I loved it. I want to do the other Ty West movies now.
Yeah, well, we'll do freaking Pearl's Adventure, whenever that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Pearl's Adventure. Mm-hmm.
Wowie. Sammy, you got to take us out with your beautiful, beautiful accent.
All right. From all of us.
All right.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
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 Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.